Good morning and welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be learning Iyov Perek Ches, the 8th chapter of the book of Iyov. The topic of today's Perek is Bildad's speech. Bildad is the second of the three friends who come to comfort Iyov, and this is his first speech. It takes up the entire Perek, and it's only one Perek long. We've already heard the words of Eliphaz, we've heard the retort of Iyov to it, and now Bildad interjects. Our Perek consists of 22 psukim, and the first question we have to ask ourselves is, who in the world is Bildad? We're told he's called Bildad Hashuchi. Well, and some academics try to associate the names with Canaanite Mesopotamian names, Bilam and Eldad, and similar linguistic connections. But more relevant to us trying to understand the content of this, the Vilna Gaon points out that when it says he is a Shuchi, it means he comes from the family of Shuach. Well, who is Shuach? If we took a careful read of Parshas Chayei Sarah, it's fascinating that in Perek Chof Hei Pasuk Beis, the Torah tells us that of the children that Avraham Avinu had with Keturah, with the wife he married after Sarah, it says one of the names was after Zimron, Yokshan, Medon, Midyon, Yishbak, and Shuach, which means that this young man, this man, is of Abrahamic descent. That's fascinating in the sense that that means to say that not only is Eliphaz of Abrahamic descent, but the second of the three friends is also of Abrahamic descent, which explains why it is that the entire fabric of conversation is based on monotheism. This is not a pagan discussion of justice. This is a monotheistic discussion of justice. And that helps shift the conversation. Let's understand the points that he makes. He makes four broad points, and we're going to try to understand them sequentially. The first four psukim of this perek are the first point. And that is he interrupts and he says, Iyov, I have to explain to you. Hashem is always just. Hakel Yaves Mishpat, will God pervert justice? Will Hashem throw away your sins in Bonecha Chotuloi by Shalchem Yad Pisham? Will HaKadosh Baruch Hu outsource it to other sources? The way the Malbim understands this is that Iyov and Bildad both agree on the same basic assumption, and that is Hashem is absolutely just. Iyov takes this to mean that if he suffers immeasurably and unjustly, it cannot be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him the suffering. It must be that Hashem has relinquished him to the forces of nature, and that's why it is that he suffered. That's Iyov's primary and first argument. Bildad argues back and says, look, if you think that it's unjust for God to punish you unjustly, well then, in the end of the day, isn't it also unjust to leave you to other forces of nature which will take advantage of you? That's equally unjust too. That means to say that it is unfair that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should outsource it to any other forces. If that's the case, then why is it that you're suffering, Iyov? Which moves us to point two. The second point runs from Pasuk He to Zion, the next three Pesukim, when she says, you know what, Matata Teshacher es el Vel Shaddai Tishanan. Im Zach via Sharata, Kiata Yoir Alecho Vishilam Noves Tzidikecho. You think that you really are pure, you really think that you are innocent as you claim. You know what, in the end of the day, it might be that it's painful now, but in the end, you will be rewarded. There's going to be a lot of suffering now in order for there to be future recompense. And then he goes on to say, he introduces the next section in Ches to Yud, the next three psukim, where he said, we're limited in our ability to be able to understand these things. We need to go back to the first generation to understand theodicy, to understand divine justice. Because you know what? We are like shadows. We arrive today and disappear tomorrow. We have no perspective. We don't have the longitudinal understanding of history to be able to have the perspective of God's machinations in history. We need to ask back to our system, and perhaps not just to our system of tradition, but to natural law. And if we look at natural law, we'll be able to understand the ways of God. And therefore, he concludes with the fourth and last section of this perek, which is Pesukim Yud Aleph to Chof Beis, the main section of this perek, where he has a very complex mashal, a very complex description of the natural world, where he describes different types of plants. He describes the gomer, this type of reed which grows in the swamps, And while it's still fresh, then it's unbreakable, it's very strong. But when the sun comes out, then it'll dry up and it'll wither. It'll be very easy to be able to be uprooted. And he talks about how and that it won't be able to support it when the ground comes out. Even the ground will say it was no that this reed was no longer housed in its place. And he talks about other kinds of plants which are less dependent on the sun, and if they're uprooted, they will be able to start again in the place that they're placed. What is this? It's a very complex mashal. What's really going on over here? So the way that the Malbim understands it is that we're referring to different types of plants. Sometimes a gardener looks at a plant and sees it's in the wrong place and has to uproot it and put it in another place. But if that plant that he removed was a very water-dependent plant, it was a very, we'll call it aquatic-based plant, then when it is moved, it is unlikely that it'll be able to resettle so easily. But even if a plant which grows among the rocks, a plant which is more hardy, a plant which is more resilient, then change its place and it'll still survive. Because you know what? It isn't dependent on the excesses, on the luxuries in life. His argument is that tzaddikim have the resilience to survive terrible but necessary upheavals and crucibles in life. Eov, you have had a terrible life. You've had an uprooting. But you know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this to you because in the end he knows that maybe you might be innocent, but this will be better for you in the future. This will be the crucible of your growth in your life. This will be the turning point in your life. And he knows that you can survive it. The Rishayim, he knows, are too weak to sustain an upheaval and an uprooting. So he lets them have a shorter life in the place that they're at. He lets them suffer in the end of the day because they're in the place which is not good for their growth. That's the way the Malbim understands it. If this is the way we read the Perek, the way the Malbim understands it, then essentially what Bildad is saying to Eov is that ultimately, Eov, you know what, you may be innocent, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish you, will do things to you in a way that will give you ultimately just a little more schar in the longer run, just like the plant which can sustain an uprooting. However, there's another way of reading this Perek altogether. Rav Shimon Schwab points this out based on some of the other Rishonim, Ramban, that there's a different way of looking at this, which is a very, very dark way of looking at it. And it goes back to that pasuk which we saw at the beginning of the Perek, which the Malbim doesn't spend so much time on it, and it says the following. The pasuk is, in pasuk Dalet, Im bonecho chatu loy vayishalchem biyad pisham. If your sons sinned to him, he sent them off in their iniquity. That's referring to Eov. Meaning, let's go back to the children of Eov. The children of Eov were one of his greatest losses. Let's go back to the first Perek. We know that his children had a feast every single day. And in fact, not only did they have a feast, but every day Eov would sacrifice korbanos after their feast for fear that in their frivolity they would cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What essentially Bildad is arguing is, Eov, you know, you keep putting your head into the sand and saying that you have no sins. And you keep saying you lost your children and it was unfair. But they lived a decadent life. They lived an empty and corrupt life. And you knew that. And instead of confronting them about the life that they lived, you brought korbanos on their behalf. But you never corrected them. Eov, you want to smell the coffee? Eov, you want to read between the lines? Im bonecho chatu loy, if your sons sinned to him, v'yishalchem biyad pisham, then he sent them off in their sins. And in what a very, very painful way of describing this, he says, Kein orchois in pasuk yud gimel, orchois chol shechei kel, v'tikvas choneif toved. There are people who are like these plants, which depend on water. And they're so dependent on their luxurious, decadent lifestyle depending on water, that they're choneif. Choneif doesn't only mean a flatterer, but means a self-deceiver. And they deceive themselves, and they deceive themselves, and they say, life is alright, and I'm doing alright, and I'm doing my avodas Hashem, and I'm a good person, I'm bringing korbanos, and everything's just fine. Until the day it isn't just fine. Eov, wake up. Eov, understand that there must be a reason for this. Is God going to be acting in a way of injustice? Is that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Then there must be justice here. But you need to dig deeper. That's the way that the Rav Schwab looks at it. A much darker way of reading this parak, and much more a blameworthy way of reading this parak, where he's actually pointing to the specific evils which led to the loss of his children. Eov, this wasn't your portfolio. It was their portfolio. And that ends this speech. You'll see how Eov responds in Perek Tes. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.